There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of MLB DFS Quick Hits, your Tuesday, August 29th edition. We have a loaded 15-game slate, or I should say a potentially loaded 15-game slate. Depends on the weather. The Northeast is going to be nasty. Seattle, Baltimore, heavy, heavy rains that die off a couple hours into the game, potentially. Atlanta, Philly, extremely heavy rains for most of the night. Same with Cleveland and the Yankees. Miami, Washington, it slowly disappears as the game gets going. Mets, Cincinnati, 20% or less. We have a good shot there. In those four first games, the Baltimore, Philly, New York, Washington, winds are blowing straight in, 11 to 17 miles an hour. Great pitching environments. If the rain can somehow disappear, we will be very, very happy with that. But keep an eye on the weather. This could be a nasty, nasty night, as there are nice bats in those games. There are very nice pitching options in those games. It could deplete things immensely. So keep an eye on that. Let's take a look at the totals we have for now. Braves, Phillies, 9. Indians, Yankees, 9.5. Those two games are question marks. Marlins, Nationals, to be determined, as we have some pitching changes, as Edwin Jackson is now starting today with the Scherzer deal, blah, blah, blah. Still waiting on our total there. Mariners, Orioles, 9.5. So, again, high totals on the games that are very, very much in question. Red Sox, Blue Jays, 8.5. Mets, Reds, 10. You got Rangers, Astros, waiting on a total there as it's Houston's home series, but due to the flooding and the hurricane in Houston, they have moved the game to Tropicana Field. So keep an eye on that one. St. Louis at Milwaukee, they're waiting there as there's some pitching shuffling as well. Pirates, Cubs, it's Chicago, so we're waiting, but Arrieta, -210 favorite. You got White Sox at Twins, 9.5. Rays, Royals, 9. Tigers, Rockies, 11. Dodgers, D-backs, 9. A's, Angels, 9.5. Gigantes, Padres, 8. Outside of that Giants game, you have 1, 8.5, and the 9s and above, besides the 4 we do not know yet. There are some really decent pitching options. There are some really good gamble options that have blow-up potential, like Ian Kennedy yesterday. I told you it was all or nothing. Well, the nothing came out with Kennedy. Williams didn't pitch bad, so the punts went 1-for-1, or 1-for-2. So it is what it is. Let's look at today's pitching, as I have quite the list, but based on potential rainouts and your desire to gamble will determine who you will be using. Up top, we have four guys over $10,000. The highest priced guy, and rightfully so on this slate, is Chris Sale. $13,200 at the Toronto Blue Jays. Sale got beat up his last time out at Cleveland. The last two times he's faced Cleveland, he's been outstanding. You look outside of that, he's been outstanding. 20.4 against the Yankees, 34.2 at the Yankees, 46.2 at Tampa Bay, 38.8 at Seattle, 31.9 at LA, 40.3 against the Yankees, 27.6 at Tampa, 37.6 at the Blue Jays. That's where I was trying to go with this one. He's faced them twice this year. 15 innings, 8 hits, 0 runs. In those 15 innings, 24 strikeouts. He's averaging 39.3 points per game against the Blue Jays. When you can average near 40 points a game against a single Major League Baseball team, That is impressive. We know Chris Sale is amazing. We know he's just lights out. He's fourth best on the barrel FIP this season. He's getting barreled 3.13% of the time in these 30 days, striking out almost 33% of the batters he's facing. It is ridiculous what he's doing. The Blue Jays strike out over 21% of the time versus lefties. You don't have to go too deep into Chris Sale's just amazing stats. If the Blue Jays hit him, they hit him. That's just one of those. They have the lowest total at 3.64, given we have four games without totals yet. This could change, but usually Sale has the lowest, if not one of the lowest. Lefties 2.52, righties 2.69 off Sale. If you want to pay, you pay. It's like I said with Scherzer last night. These are the kind of guys that they'll have their blowups from time to time. You saw Cleveland has Sale's number. That's been going on since he was with the White Sox for years now. The Indians and the Tigers have Sale's numbers, just how it goes. But Sale has looked dominant against the rest of the league. If you listen to Around the Bases with myself and my partner Mo is a Red Sox fan, so it's not homer induced, though, I promise. He brings all the stats with it. He thinks Sale is a good shot of even getting top three MVP votes in the AL, and I can't completely disagree. I'm not a fan of pitchers getting the MVP, but I get it. He's been that good. So if you want to pay up 13-2, he's worth the price, in my opinion. Again, you have Coors on the slate, but you have other options you can build with, especially if those four games get rained out. But outside of Coors, the hitting environments dry up drastically just because there's a good pitching matchup in Arizona, which is still a great hitting environment, but a pretty decent matchup somewhat limits that. So Chris Sale at 13-2 is in play. If you want to save $2,100, Jake Arrieta against the Pittsburgh Pirates. We got to see what the weather looks like here. It was mild wind, I believe, blowing in. Nothing too crazy, but he's been very, very good of late. He keeps getting better and better as the year goes on. He's averaging almost 22 points his last 10 games. 24.6 his last outing at Cincy. He's got three straight 23.5 or more point starts. Five of his last six have been basically 23 or more. When it comes to facing the Pirates, they do somehow have his number. He started three games against them, 16 innings pitched, 8 earned runs, 15 Ks, so almost a K in innings, averaging 9.1 points a game against the Pirates. So take that as you wish. Is it like the Indians with Chris Sale? It could be. The Pirates also don't strike out a ton, but we did see that Arrieta's getting about a K in inning, which we would take if he throws 7 innings with 7 or more strikeouts and limits the damage. I would be pumped. He is 11-1, so you need, I'd say, 25-plus. He's averaging about 23. You know, like I say, he's gotten 23 in 5 of his last 6. He's got the potential for the big, big game. Pirates, he just don't strike out a ton, so they're not going to help him. But Arrieta is 22nd best the last 30 days in barrel FIP, striking out almost 25.6% of the batters he's facing, only getting barreled 2.33% of the time. Really good ground ball rate of 45.4%, which will help him a ton. And the lefties, where'd you go? Where the heck did you? There he is. Lefties 304, righties 254 off Arrieta. The big bats that you're worried about outside of Josh Bell in the Pirates lineups are all right-handed. So if you want to save on Chris Sale, I have no problem going to Arrieta at 11-1. I will not be using Rich Hill tonight, a guy that just threw 9-plus innings at 99 pitches. I know the pitch count wasn't high with the stress level on a guy that has arm/blister issues in his career. I will take a pass on this one. If he throws great, so be it. I hope a lot of the moths follow the flame and want Hill and just run to him. If he throws a great game in Arizona against the D-backs, more power to you. I'm all for it. I'd rather pay up for Arrieta or Sale, or I'll pay down for the fourth guy in this range. Irvin Santana at $10,200. He keeps getting it done. His price tag is high this week, which I think might scare guys. He hasn't been this high in a while. It was August 2nd at San Diego, and he only threw a complete game, 9 Ks, 2 earned, 37.8-point performance when he was 10-2. The guy has been really good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight double-digit performances. 8 of his last 10 double digits, most in the 20s or more. When it comes to facing the White Sox, 4 starts against them this year. 27 innings pitched, 7 earned, 26 strikeouts, nearly a K in inning, which says a lot coming from a guy that doesn't have a big K percentage. He's averaging 25.5 points per game against the White Sox. In his recent start against the White Sox, it was his last start out at Chicago, 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned, 8 Ks for 26.8 points. Now he goes to a better pitching environment at Target Field in Minnesota. it's a very good spot that I like a lot. I like it a lot, a lot. The White Sox team total is 4.09. Lefties 286, righties 301. If you decide to go to a five-digit pitcher, but you want to save, I have zero problem with Santana being your number one. I love Sale. If you want to pay for Sale, get him. Arrieta, I can see picking Santana over Arrieta. I actually have him ranked ahead of Arrieta because you're saving $900. There's more K upside. A lot to like in that, as you know, White Sox strike out almost 23% of the time. Ton to like there. But those are your three options up top. Sale, one. Santana, two. Arrieta, three. If you're not paying up for Sale, you're paying for Santana in this range. Now we dip below the 10K range. You're going $1,400 cheaper to the next option, and it is Dylan Bundy. He's been out for a little while. He's going to get back on the hill at home against the Seattle Mariners. We know how good Dylan has been of late. 19-3, 25-5, 32-8, 29-6. He got a bad game at Houston, then 19-9. Been pitching really, really well. Caleb Joseph, just like Ubaldo, has been his bring it back. Six or more innings in almost every start. 8, 10, and 10 strikeouts in his last three starts. Even 10 at the Angels, a team that does not strike out a lot. He's facing Seattle, who strikes out 21% of the time versus righties in the last 30 days. Bundy, fifth best on the barrel FIP, getting barreled 3.8% of the time. He's walking only 3.8 in that period. And the most impressive part for Dylan Bundy, because if you remember, if you've been a long-time listener, and if you are, I really appreciate it, but he was having real, real trouble striking guys out earlier in the season. Less than 20%. He was like in the 16 to 17% range. That number overall in the season is up to 20.8. In the last 30 days, Dylan Bundy has a 31.43% strikeout rate. In the last 30 days, Chris Sale, 32.81. Dylan Bundy is striking mofos out. It is impressive what he's doing, and a lot of it goes back to the deep dives when you look into Caleb Joseph behind the dish. Joseph is doing wonders with some of these guys, and that's what's keeping Baltimore in these races somehow, by some grace of God. So Bundy, very much in play at $8,800. Seattle is always scary. They have those games where they blow up and then they don't. They had six runs off Tillman, given Tillman isn't your average cup of tea. But they show up and they don't. It's all or nothing with them, and they frustrate you at times. So they're a tough team to pick on. Bundy, just the $8,800, has that 25-plus point upside that you're shooting for with Santana and Arrieta. And Sale, you're shooting for 30-plus. But what you want from Santana and Arrieta, Bundy can give you, and he's cheaper. So if you want to completely punt the top division, the top section, Bundy's my go-to guy. He's $8,800. The Mariners have a 4.54 total. That's A, because they can hit. B, the total's just huge in that game. Lefty's 329, righty's 315. They have a very good WOBA of 321 and ISO of 162. Just around average, not extremely great, but good, really good. And the biggest thing is, like a lot of these games, you need to watch the weather. Those three top-priced guys, they're, knock on wood for now, zero weather concerns. This is one of the ones that I do like that has a massive weather concern. This is one that if they wait an hour to 2 hours, the rain will disappear. So hopefully that's what they do. Seattle's not coming back to Baltimore this year. Baltimore's likely not going back to Seattle. So they need to get these games in. So it's either they play it late tonight or they doubleheader it tomorrow. But they probably want to get out of town, I'm guessing. I haven't looked at their schedule. So this will be interesting to see if they wait this one out. Bundy is a very, very good play for me tonight at $8,800, especially if you want to save. Or I did some matching up. You can match Bundy with Santana for sure. You can make it work with Arrieta. You can make it work with Sale. It's just very, very cringeworthy, your bats. It's not the most comfortable situation, but you can make it work if you want to get to some guys I'll mention later against some. You have to kind of fade some of the big boys. Next up in this 8K range, a guy that is, there's a couple guys tonight that are way out of price. This is one, and this is why it makes it intriguing for me. It's Matt Moore at $8,100. I know Matt has had a horrible season. Heck, you look at the barrel FIP the last 30 days, he's 11th worst. He's getting barreled 7.8% of the time, but he's also striking out almost 23.5%, which for Matt Moore, that's outstanding. On the season, he's 19.5. The Padres strike out 25.6% of the time versus left-handed pitching. It's the hard contact rate's high. All his other numbers are very, very average. He's not like, he's just having a very bad year. He's averaging 13.9 his last 10 games, which you want more for 81. I get it. His last three, though, 19-3, 20.9, 25.6 at the Nationals. Just keep that in mind. He's had a lot of good starts. He's double-digited in 8 of his last 10. Most of those are actually like 14, 15, or above. 15 or above for at least 7 of those 10. Which for Matt Moore, good things. He's faced San Diego once this year, 7 innings, 4 earned, no walks, 7 Ks for 15.3. Heck, if he makes it 2 earned with the 7 Ks and 7 innings, we're talking closer to 20 points. That $8,100 looks much, much nicer. The Padres have a low total at the moment. Given, keep remembering there's 4 games that don't have totals right now, so we can't get a team total feel on this. Padres have a 4.12 total, currently the 4th lowest on the slate. Lefties 362, righties 312. The Padres as a team are one of the worst WOBAs in baseball against left-handed pitching at 284. It's really, really bad. It's worse than the Giants, I believe, now, actually, which says a lot about, A, how the Giants have slowly gotten better, and, B, how bad the Padres are against lefties. So no one's going to want to use him at $8,100. This is a GPP play. For cash, he's safe. I hate saying safe. Safe is a horrible word in fantasy sports, especially baseball. But I really, really am confident that he has double-digit upside. So cash-wise, I want to say he's a good cash play. It's just an expensive play. You want more. If he gets you 15 or more, you'll be happy. I'm shooting for the 15 to 20-point upside. $8,100 makes for an extremely low contrarian GPP play that I am not completely against. So in this 8K range, you got Bundy 1, Matt Moore 2. Let's dip into the 7s where we got 4 arms to look at here. Zach Godley. 70. First off, I want to mention Trevor Bauer, 79. He's been really, really good. A couple hiccups because he's Trevor Bauer. Aaron Judge is supposed to be sitting again. If Gary Sanchez's suspension comes into play, Bauer might be worth a GPP play at 79. But again, watch for the weather there. It's really, really bad. The wind, all these games have wind blowing in, which is amazing for pitching, but the rain is thick in New York, like below above 60% most of the night. All right, Zach Godley, $7,700 at home against the Los Angeles Dodgers. I love this play. We have a pitcher who's been very, very good, consistently 15-plus type point performances, closer to 20 most starts. His last start against the Dodgers, 6 2/3, 8 hits, 3 earned, 5 Ks for 13.6. That was at the Dodgers. Last time they came at Arizona, July 5th, they faced him, 5 2/3, 3 hits, 1 earned, 6 Ks for 19.8 points. Still, people fade the pitchers versus the Dodgers. I know they can hit. If they blew Zach Godley up, I would not be shocked. It's Arizona. It's Chase Field. It is Coors Light. The ball flies. The Dodgers have a very, very good offense. But it's an offense that's been extremely, extremely cold. Very, very cold. At least to their standards. Let me put it that way. Cold to their standards. They're striking out over 22% of the time versus righties. You got Godley, who has a K rate of 26.4, a swinging strike rate of almost 14%, and a ground ball rate of 55.6%. He's $7,700. This is a discount on Godley because he's facing the Dodgers. He's been so much better than this year. The Dodgers have a 4.53 total, lefties 321, righties 304. We know they have these seasonal numbers. Great WOBA, great ISO. They really haven't lit the world on fire lately. Trevor Williams, who we used against the Cubs last night, who threw well, he threw 8 shutout against the Dodgers. If they hit Godley, you wouldn't be surprised with the power and the thump they have. But Bellinger's due back Wednesday or Thursday, so this is one of the last games you have to target the Dodgers without their big boy, Cody Bellinger. That's something to really, really keep in mind. I think Godley makes for a really good GPP play. Obviously, GPP plays are gambles. That's why they're GPP plays. But at $7,700, you're having 20 to 25 to even 30 points upside that we've seen with Godley. But at least 20 at $7,700 is outstanding. That price tag is off, and I'm all for it. Luke Weaver, $7,600. I told you after his last start, we're not going to get him in the sixes anymore. When he dominated San Diego, 7 innings, 3 hits, nowhere in 10 Ks for 36.8 points. We used him a while back against Milwaukee. At Milwaukee, 6 2/3. 5 hits, 2 earned. He gave up a homer, which you expect against the Milwaukee, especially in Milwaukee. But he limited the walks to 2, and he struck out 8 for 26.1. He's up to 76, but the price is worth it, in my opinion. It's risky. It's Milwaukee in that ballpark. They could have home run derby in a heartbeat. They have a team total that we're waiting for because of the pitching change. That's right. But lefties 349, righties 323 against Weaver. But you're looking at a team a team in Milwaukee who we know strikes out a ton. They strike out 25.6% of the time versus right-handed pitching. They're facing Weaver, who in a small sample, obviously, but even in the minors, he's one of their top prospects. Great arm. 28% K rate so far. Ground ball rate of 44.6%. Very low hard contact, which is outstanding. When you're facing the Brewers, who I told you were losing their total at the moment, but $7,600 for the upside we've seen in his last two full starts, he's throwing 30-point upside out there. Do we expect 30 points every time? Not a chance. This isn't Chris Sale. This isn't Corey Kluber. This isn't Max Scherzer. But give me 20. Give me 18. Give me 20-plus, though. At $7,600, I am all in on Luke Weaver. At the same time, Milwaukee does have, like, Shaw and company are decent options just in case to cover your ass. But Weaver, very, very good play. A low-owned play in this range, it's similar to the Weaver play, and it backfired with Kennedy last night, but I actually like this arm better. I actually own Jake Junis in season-long leagues because I like this kid's upside. Given blow-ups were possible, but he threw 19.2 points on the board in 7 innings of 107 Ks in his last start against Colorado at home. He got beat up by Cleveland. It's kind of a trend these days, if you can't tell, by people Cleveland beating people up. But at Oakland, 13.9. Against Seattle at home, 31.6. So since he's made his jaunt back into the rotation at the beginning of August, he has 4 starts. 4 of his 5 are in double digits, 14 or more starts. 3 of the 4, 19 or more. Facing a Tampa Bay team that strikes out a ton, Junis has good strikeout stuff. He's shown it in the minors. He's showing it now. You got Tampa Bay with a 25% K rate versus righties. Junis is up to 19% now, but a lot of that was lowered early on. Once he's kind of getting established, he's showing it. Doesn't walk a ton, which I really, really like. Just got to limit the hard contact. He's in a good pitching ballpark against Tampa Bay, whose total is 4-4-4. It's currently 6th lowest on the slate. Lefty's 333, righty's 339 versus Junis. I think he's a sneaky play. The risk is definitely there as you got those lefties that can, you know, take him to pound town if you want. But very intriguing play, in my opinion, with Junis at 74. The last guy on this list, and I am very angry that the rain looks so bad in Philadelphia. Heavy rain pretty much all night. The wind's blowing in at 16 miles an hour. This is a game made for the knuckleball. R.A. Dickey at $7,100. We've been riding this train. He's been crushing it. Only 9.7 his last time, but prior to that, 18.1, 18.4, 15.1, 26.4. A bad start. 12.4, 12.9, 24.8. This guy's been great. He has been outstanding. 2 starts versus Philly this year. 14 innings pitch. He has 16 Ks in those 14 innings. 1 earned run in those 14 innings. He's averaging 29.2 points a game versus the frickin' Philadelphia Phillies. Love this play at $7,100. We know the Phillies have some powerful bats. They went off a lot lately with these youngsters, and I love the Phillies' bats. They strike out 24% of the time versus righties. Hard contact rate is extremely low, almost 49% ground ball rate for Dickey. The list goes on and on and on. The Phillies team total 4-5-7. I really, really like Dickey tonight at $7,100, but that weather is terrifying, so be careful, pay attention to it, but I do think he's a very good play. So in the 7K range, I got Dickey 1, Godley 2, Weaver 3, Junis 4. In the 6Ks, we get to gamble, and one is Mark Leiter Jr. at home against those Atlanta Braves. It's a Braves team that, on the downside, doesn't strike out a ton, but Leiter is finally showing what everyone's talked about in the minors. He's not like a top prospect, but he's very, very good. 3 of his last 4 starts, 20.3 points or more. The one bad start, surprisingly, was at San Diego for a negative number, but his last 2 home starts against Miami, 28 points, against the Mets, 20.3. The strikeouts have been there, 5 or more in those 3 really good starts. Again, Atlanta, not a huge strikeout team. They strike out, where'd they go? Only 19.4% of the time. Leiter striking out about 21% that he faces. Doesn't have a big swinging strike rate, which just sucks. But a ground ball rate of 49.1%, and he does limit the hard contact. Only 25.8% hard contact, which is really, really good for a guy with those kind of numbers. Atlanta, 5th lowest total at the moment at 4.43. Lefties, 3.15. Righties, 2.96. Leiter was a punt play I was definitely in on. I could have seen him getting blown up. But I was also in on him at $6,800. Be careful with the weather, but he's on my radar in that range. The other guy, which is extremely dicey, but at least it's a good, we know the weather will be fine. where do you go? Martin Perez of the Texas Rangers, 6K. A lefty versus Houston is usually suicide. I totally get it. He made one start against him this year, 3 2/3, 7 hits, 5 earned, 2 Ks for minus 3.8. He's averaging 11 points on the road, which is better at home than home. He's actually been usable of late, especially on the road. At LA, 21.6. He had a 7-5, a 13-3 at home, and then a 27.6 at the Mets. So his last four starts, he hasn't gotten killed. He's got double digits in three of those four. I'd even take 13.3 for 6K against Houston. It is terrifying for the fact you know what Houston can do versus lefties. They don't strike out a ton. They strike out 17% of the time versus lefties, but he's not a big strikeout guy. He's a 46.4% ground ball guy. Everything else is pretty horrible. And lefties hit 269, righties 350 off Perez. And we know that the Astros hit lefties extremely well. It's in Tropicana Field, a good pitching environment, so keep that in mind. So as a punt at 6K, Perez is on my list. Let's recap all of the pitching. I know it's been long-winded, a long pitching preview, but with the weather and everything else, I had to get into them. Up top, you got Sale 1, Santana 2, Arrieta 3. If you're not paying up for Sale, Santana is your top pitcher in the 5K range. Then in the 8Ks, you got Bundy 1, Matt Moore 2. In the 7Ks, Dickey 1, Godley 2, Weaver 3, Junis 4. And then down below, in the 6Ks, you got Leiter at 68, Perez at 6K. There's your pitching. Let's get into the bats. Kick it off the catcher's position with the one and only Gary Sanchez, $4,700 versus Trevor Bauer. I do like this a lot, especially in GPPs. Bauer has been very good. He's limited the hard contact, but he's also gives up a good amount of the long ball. When you're looking at Bauer, he has a 16.3% home run, a fly ball, and a hard contact over 35%, both not quite what you would desire in a pitcher. Lefty's 325, righty's 320. Gary Sanchez at 47 is in play. You got Alex Avila versus Chad Kuhl at 39. Lefties versus Kuhl is definitely a thing. We've established that. It's been established. Many have established it. Lefties 365, righties 298 versus Kuhl. When you slide down, Molina's not bad versus Garza. I can get it. Grandal at 37 versus Godley. If you want to fade Godley, he's an option. The Dodgers, it's lefties 321, righties 304. Doesn't give up a ton of hard contact, but it is an option. But as you scroll down the list, it gets a little more enticing. You know, you got like Matt Wieters versus Worley. It's not bad at 36. It's not my top choice. But like Kurt Suzuki versus Leiter Jr. at 35, I can get behind. James McCann at 35 and Coors, I can definitely get behind. Same with Lucroy at 35 versus Fulmer. I like McCann more than Lucroy. Lucroy did go deep yesterday. Farther down the list you go, Evan Gattis at 34 is a great play. It's probably the top play outside after Gary Sanchez in my book. Gattis at $3,400 versus Perez. We mentioned how righties hit Perez. Gattis loves his left-handed pitching. So Gattis at 34 is definitely, definitely in play tonight. Farther down the list, I didn't see him up there. Yan Gomes, $3,200 versus the lefty Jaime Garcia. Gomes has some very good power versus lefties. When it comes to the Indians, lefties 297 versus Garcia, righties 338. So Yan Gomes at $3,200. Definitely in play there. The farther down the list you go, Caleb Joseph at 31 is not horrible against Ramirez. John Hicks and Coors at 31 if he gets to start. It's not the platoon advantage we like, but he is in play. Like a Manny Pena against Weaver at 3K. I believe Pena took him deep when they last met. Brett Nicholas, I like this play as a sneaky play. Fires, it's been okay his last couple starts, but he was really rough before that. Nicholas averaging 7 points his last 10. Left-handed catcher for the Rangers. He's 3K versus Fires, so he's in play tonight. The farther down you go, like Austin Hedges, 3K versus Matt Moore. We know the reverse splits, lefty-righties. Lefties are better than righties against Moore, but both are just fine. Moore's getting barreled up. He's 11th worst the last 30 days. He's getting barreled 7.8% of the time. So Hedges at 29 does return a little bit of value. Salvador Perez at 29 is not too bad when you're talking Cobb, lefties 336, righties 308. But, you know, you got Perez in the middle of an order at 29. That's the kind of value you're looking at the catcher's position. As you drop down even farther, You got the likes of Martin Maldonado at 2,700 versus Smith. I don't mind. It's not the platoon we're looking for, but it's just fine. Another punt. I love how they have J.P. Crawford of the Philly at a catcher position. Good job, DraftKings. Go get him. Bruce Maxwell, 2,300 versus Scribner as a punt play is definitely worth the look there. And the farther down you go, there's going to be a couple other options. Like maybe, I don't know, I don't feel like fading. Maybe Jose Lobaton gets to start at 2K. Check the lineups from that, but some good options below 3K. And then you got Gattis and Sanchez up top. First base, Anthony Rizzo, 52 versus Cool, is definitely worth a look in that matchup. You got Joey Votto, who I like a ton, versus Flexen. Flexen pitched well his last time out, surprisingly. But Cincinnati, 5.35 total against Flexen. Lefties, 3.89. Righties, 4.22 in Great American Small Park. Joey Votto at 51 is definitely the top play for me at the high-priced range. You got Freeman at 48, definitely in play there. Goldschmidt versus Hill, I love at 47. People will... They're either going to be full fade on Hill, kind of like me, or they're not going to touch him at all. Hill has reverse splits, lefties 312, righties 251, so be careful, but Goldie is special. $4,700 is a good GPP play. You got Edwin Encarnacion versus Garcia at 46. I love that play. Edwin versus a lefty, especially Garcia. He is a big, big play for me. Not overall, but I do like him a ton is what I mean. As you scroll down some more, Eric Hosmer, left-handed bat versus Cobb at 44 in play. Carlos Santana versus Jaime Garcia at 43. Very much in play as well. I don't mind Ryan Zimmerman versus Worley at 43. Hanley Ramirez, he has slumped mightily this year. He did have 12 points yesterday. He's averaging 6 points his last 10. In his career, he's been very good versus lefties. Brett Anderson making his return to the bigs for the Blue Jays at $4,200 for Ramirez. It's worth a look. You got Logan Morrison at a big game on Monday. He's 41 versus Junis, which I don't mind at all. Chris Davis, lefties versus Rosario Ramirez is a big thing. Righties 281, lefties 361. You can get some Chris Davis at 4,100 versus Erasmo. Not bad at all. The farther down we look, Yuli Gurriel at 4K versus Perez. Very good play there. Duda at 38 versus Junis, I like a ton. Louis Valbuena, $3,800 for Smith. Valbuena, first base, third base, eligible. The Angels, 504 total. Righties, 327. Lefties, 352. So Valbuena's worth a look at 38. Yeah, Carpenter at 38 versus Garza is not horrible either. That's not a bad play, especially in that ballpark. Very solid look there. The farther down we go, if you want a fade sale, Justin Smoke crushes lefties. He's 3,600. Just not your average lefty. Matt Davidson at 35, he's come back, he's hitting well. It is Irvin Santana, but it's a punt. A good $3,500 play here is Matt Olson for the A's. Left-handed bat versus Scribner, first base outfield eligible at 35. I like that quite a bit. CJ Cron does hit righties with a ton of power. It's lefties with a lot more. But Cron at 3,500 versus Smith could be a nice punt as well. You got Napoli versus Fires, Thames versus Weaver. Thames has been, you know, so hit and miss, but you're getting him for $3,500, which is a heck of a discount in that ballpark. You could run into one if you want to go that route. Other than that, like Will Myers, 32 versus Moore, has some definite upside. And Dominic Smith at 3K versus Romano. Smith's been underwhelming, but does have that pedigree, and we know what he can do. So 3K versus Romano in that ballpark especially, you're getting a good discount for that ballpark alone. Dom Smith could be a great value play at 3K. Going over second base, you got Jose Altuve versus Martin Perez, another lefty. Altuve loves him some lefty, 5,100. Kinsler and Coors at 49, LeMahieu at 48, both okay plays. Scrolling down, got Scope at 47, I don't mind that at all. Jose Ramirez double-donged yesterday. Does hit well from the right side, he's 47. Ian Happ, nice left-handed bat versus Cool at 46. Don't mind that at all. Brian Dozier, 4,500 versus Big Game James. Dozier's averaging over 11 points his last 10. He is smoking hot. Big Game James, 18th worst the last 30 days in the barrel. Fifth getting barreled over 8% of the time. I like me some Dozier. Eduardo Nunez likes his lefties. He's facing Anderson tonight in a very good hitter's ballpark. He's 44. Nunez is a very solid play. Been overlooked lately, swinging a very good bat as well. As you go down, like D. Gordon, 42, not bad versus Jackson. Cano, 41 versus Bundy is not bad. Adriel Cabrera is up to 4,100 in a great hitting environment in Great American Small Park. He's been kind of slumping, one would say, but could be a good GPP play there. I love some Scooter Gennett at 41 versus Flexen. That's the guy I'd look to in that matchup. Very solid. Solid play versus Flexen. As you look down, Paul DeJong is down to 4K. I know it's a righty-righty matchup, but it's freaking Paul DeJong who's hitting everything right now. The Cardinals, when you face Matt Garza, righty's 311, lefty's 358. DeJong hits in the middle of that order at 4K. I like that a lot. Starting Castro, 39 versus Bauer is not a bad look either. As you scroll down, like a Jed Lowry or a Neil Walker, both at 3,800 bucks, are good values at second base. A little farther down the list, you got the likes of Ruggie Odor. I saw this last night. It made me laugh. I know he's not a big average guy. He's averaging 6.6 his last 10, three homers his last 10 games. He's facing Mike Fiers, who does give up the long ball from time to time. He's only 3,500 bucks. That's got some big, big return potential coming with it. Joe Panik, actually swinging well lately. He did go yard yesterday for 20 points. He has two homers in his last 10 games. He's averaging 8.2 his last 10 games. Facing Luis Perdomo, big ground ball guy. I get that. But he's also lefty's 365, righty's 343. So if you want to be contrarian, Panik at 35 isn't a horrible play. Tommy La Stella, who's having a great, great run here of late as he's getting regular playing time, three homers in his last 10 games, averaging 7.5 his last 10. Nice left-handed bat versus Chad Kuhl, 3,300. Ben Zobrist, 33 as well, so two cheaper pieces of a very potent Cubs lineup against Chad Kuhl. And you got like Brandon Drury, who loves his lefties. He's 3,200 versus Rich Hill. Brad Miller's 31 versus Junis. These are your lower-priced options. Chase Utley, 3K. I'm not a big Chase Utley fan, but it is a discount for a left-handed bat in that matchup if you choose to fade that matchup, which, again, I am not, but it's an option if you want to. Other than that, we'll have to wait for lineups for your values at the second base. Caleb Cowart's always at the bottom, always value. Manny Machado, 54 versus Rosmo's in play. Arenado and Coors at 52. Rendon, 51. Castellanos and Coors at 49 is very, very nice. You got Beltre at 48 versus Fiers, which I do like a lot. Freddie Freeman, I mentioned him at 48. Bregman at 47 versus Perez is very solid. Bregman versus the lefty Perez, I do like that. You got the likes of Travis Shaw at 39. You're getting a discount here. Shaw at 39 versus Weaver is great. If you're not using Weaver, tremendous upside in that matchup. Rafael Devers, 38. I know it's lefty-lefty, so be a little careful there, but I still don't mind it. Valbuena at 38 versus Smith. I still told you that one earlier. Josh Donaldson. He's only 3,600 bucks. He's facing Chris Sale, obviously, but we know what Donaldson does versus lefties. The way he's streaking right now could be a very good GPP play, like a one-off against Sale. A guy I like down here at 36 is Derek Dietrich. Swinging it really, really well, averaging 6.6 his last 10. He only had 2 points yesterday, but prior to that, 14, 10, and 13 in his last three games. Hitting really, really well playing third base for the Marlins. And you're facing Edwin Jackson, which doesn't suck. The farther down you go, you can get like Chase Headley, who went deep yesterday. He's 3,500 versus Trevor Bauer. You have Moustakas at 33 versus Cobb. You're getting him at a discount while he's slumping right now. Averaging 4.2 his last 10. He's slumping mightily, so don't use him if you don't want to. But this GPP-wise, the upside is huge with the guy having a season like this. Don't forget, he's still hitting 275 with 35 homers on the season. 3,300 bucks against a guy like Cobb who gets crushed by left-handed pitching to a tune of, where did they go? Can't see. 336 average. And the WOBA, and it's all high. He gets hit hard by lefties, so Moustakas at 33 is quite a discount. These are the kind of bats, if you want to put the expensive pitchers together, these are the upside bats you're looking for. Like a Pablo Sandoval at 31, I'm not in love with him, but I mentioned yesterday he's actually hitting decent because you're getting him in the low threes every time. He's averaging 6.1 his last 10 games, which for the low threes, he'll take 6 to 7 points. It's not the end of the world. A little farther down, if Greg Garcia cracks the lineup, he's 29. It's not great, but not bad. It's a punt play, essentially. Matt Chapman at 26, big time power versus righties. Big time power. $2,600. Ryder Jones, first base, third base at 25. I'd rather pay up for Matt Chapman, the barrel wizard since the All-Star break. Heading over to the shortstop position, Francisco Lindor. He's better from the right side than the left side. He's $5,500 for Jaime Garcia. Lindor's on fire lately, averaging 12.6 his last 10. No points yesterday, but then 23, 5, 24, 22, 2, 14, 4, 29. He has been crushing it. So the price tag's high for a reason. Beckham at 5K, not bad versus Rossimo. But Bregman 47, I do love. Jorge Polanco, swinging a great stick. No one's going to pay for him at this price. He's averaging 12.4 his last 10. He had 12 more points last night, 2 more doubles. He has 4 doubles and 4 homers in his last 10 games. He's 4,400 versus Big Game James. Again, getting barreled over 8% of the time right now. So 4,400. And he's batting like third or fourth in that lineup. So Polanco, very much in play. I think I mentioned it earlier, but if I did not, when you're fading James, A, the Twins had the 5-4-1 total, which is second highest at the moment, ahead of the Reds and the Tigers. Lefty's 387, righty's 359 off Shields. The farther down you go, Andrus isn't bad at 44. Anderson Simmons at 42 is okay. I do like Cozart at 42 versus Flexen in Cincinnati. I like Cozart a lot more versus lefties. But Flexen's getting hit hard by both sides of the plate and in that ballpark. I do like the upside with Cozart at 42. Mentioned Cabrera at 41 earlier. You got Xander Bogaerts versus the lefty Anderson at 4K. Bogaerts continues to heat up. He's averaging 8.2 his last 10. 4K versus Anderson is very much in play. DeJong at 4K I like a lot, like I've already mentioned. When you scroll down, the likes of maybe Chad Pender or Brandon Crawford, who even went deep yesterday. He's 37 versus Perdomo. A little pricey for Crawford as he's been low for so long. But then a guy like Didi Gregorius is only 3,400 versus Trevor Bauer. He might be in a bit of a slump. I get it. He's still averaging 6 points his last 10. And he's having a phenomenal season with power upside against Bauer at 3,400. Like Moustakas, you're getting him at an extreme discount. So not bad at all. Dansby Swanson swinging a pretty good stick of late. He's 32 as a punt versus Leiter Jr. Tim Anderson I like at 3K as a punt. Orlando Arcia at 3K as a punt is also very much in play against Weaver. Adam Rosales loves facing his lefties. He's facing Rich Hill. He's $2,800. So keep Rosales on the back of your mind if you just want to completely throw the position in the punt category. He's below 3K with upside. Let's take it to the outfield and wrap her up. We kick it off with the high-priced Giancarlo Stanton at 5,700 versus Edwin Jackson, and that is might be too cheap. You got Charlie Blackmon at 54 in a really good matchup at Coors, of course. Fulmer's a better pitcher than most that they'll face there, but he is Charlie Blackmon, period. He's in Coors, which helps again. He had 11 points last night, averaging 12 points his last 10. Trout at 53 is always in play. Justin Upton at 52 was in play, period, but in Coors even more so. I love me some Mookie Betts versus Brett Anderson at 51. I'm hoping everybody looks at those four top guys. You can slide Betts in there very nicely. Byron Buxton, people, I don't think he'll still pay this price, but I will. $4,900 for Buxton versus Big Game James. It's a steep tag. He's coming off his 3-homer, 56-point performance, averaging 14 points his last 10. Take the 56 away, it's still 4, 20, 14, 0, 0, 19, 7, 12, 8. He's been very, very good in a very good matchup tonight in the middle of that Twins order. If you don't want to, though, there's a couple other names I will mention in Minnesota, which I like a lot. You got Springer versus a lefty at 48, which is outstanding. So if you don't want to pay above 5K, you can kick it off here at Buxton or Springer and be just fine. Curtis Granderson at 47. I'm not looking to fade Godley, but GPP, I could see the upside. Gerardo Parr at 47 and Coors I like a lot. Kiermaier has really, really found his bat since coming off the DL. 46 versus Junis. If you're not using Junis, Kiermaier is definitely worth a look. Happ at 76. You got J.D. Martinez versus Rich Hill at 46 is a nice GPP play there. Ozuna at 46, not bad. K with a Chris Davis at 45 is not bad. You scroll down, you got like Steven Souza Jr. at 44, a good GPP angle there. Adam Jones went deep last night. I loved his plays. 4,400 versus Rossmo in play again tonight. Scroll some more. Dexter Fowler at 43 will be very overlooked. Good matchup first. Garza is averaging 9.2 his last 10. Really starting to get going now that he's supposedly healthy. So Fowler at 43, I do like. Nomar Mazzara at 43 versus Fires, I like a lot as well. Yeah, Yelich at 43, not bad. Here's one of the twins I was talking about. Eddie Rosario at 42 versus Big Game James is a very nice play tonight. Very, very nice. You got Schwarber at 42, who against Cool is in play. Slide down some more. Chu's not bad versus Fires. You got Manny Margot versus Moore at 42. I don't mind that at all. Cedic at 41 as he's starting to kind of hit it again, up to 9, averaging 9.6 his last 10. So Cedic at 41 versus Junis, I don't hate at all. A guy like Aaron Hicks, always overlooked with his power upside versus Bauer at 41. Don't hate that either. Bradley Zimmer slowly heating up, but we'll wait another day. Cole Calhoun, 4K versus Smith, I like. He had 5 more points last night. He's averaging 9.6 his last 10. Good spot batting in the middle of the order against Smith tonight. As we scroll down the list some more, like Randall Grichuk at 39 with some power upside. Adam Duvall and Billy Hamilton are both only $3,900 for Flexen and Cincinnati. Both are very, very good plays, especially at that price tag. That's outstanding. Ender Inciarte at 39 versus Leiter Jr. Not bad at all. As you go down some more, like AJ Pollock at 38 versus Hill, if you want to be contrarian. You're getting discounts on these guys versus Hill. Look at Max Kepler at 37 versus Big Game James is too cheap. Too cheap. I know as a whole he's been slumping. He had 20 points a couple games ago. It's Big Game James. Kepler's got that power. $3,700. Very nice play. It's kind of how I felt about Nick Williams yesterday at 32. He paid off, giving us 500 more. This Kepler's just too cheap. Too cheap. Yeah, Ben Revere at 37 is very solid versus Smith as well. You look at Scotty Scheffler. He's been back from the DL. Hitting it pretty well, averaging 8.7 his last 10. The power's coming back. He's 37 versus Flexen in Great American Small Park. Good 3K bat. You go down for some more, like Jose Perel at 36 versus Moore. I don't mind at all. You got Jason Worth back at 36. Could be sneaky. I'm not looking to fade Irvin Santana, but like Lurie Garcia at 35 leading off. You got Matt Olson at 35 versus Scribner, which I do like a lot, like I mentioned earlier. Eric Thames, $3,500 GPP play in that matchup. As you go down even farther, it gets more and more like Brandon Moss, GPP only, but $3,400 against Cobb, left-handed power bat there. Brandon Guyer likes his lefties a lot. He's $3,400 versus Jaime Garcia. I like that play tonight. Very good spot there for Guyer. I mentioned Zobrist earlier at 33. I like him quite a bit. Steve Pierce does love facing lefties. He's 33 versus Sale if you want to be contrarian, kind of how he used to play Guyer versus Sale. Pierce could be worth a look. Bautista, 33 as well. But it's Chris Sale, so be very, very careful. You got like John Jay at 32 if he's leading off for the Cubs. That's a sneaky value play. Only if he's leading off. Here's a price tag that makes 0.0 cents besides the fact he's 4 for 35 his last 10 games. He has four straight zeros, but prior to that, a 5, 2, 5, 7, 0, 3. He's not lighting the world on fire. But in Milwaukee, at Miller Park, against Weaver, who's been good. He's limited the hard contact, good young arm. Young arms get blown up from time to time. You're getting Ryan Braun for $3,200. That is redonkulous. That's just crazy. I know he's slumping, so if you don't want to play him, you want someone that's been more consistent lately, I get it. But $3,200 for the upside of Ryan Braun is huge. Could be a complete dud, but it's great. Great value, upside, whatever you want to call it, it's there. Hunter Renfroe at 32 versus Moore is not bad. There's a cheaper right-handed power bat I would be looking at as well with San Diego. Until we get there, though. Oh, there he is. Jabari Blash, 3K versus Moore. This guy, him and Renfroe, all they do is hit bombs. Bombs, bombs, bombs. Don't hit for average. None of that. They don't believe in average. They believe in home runs. That's it. So 3K as a punch power play versus Moore. Ezekiel Carrera is not in play tonight. Cancel that thought. I got excited for a second. Cancel that thought. Scroll down some more. I didn't see a ton down here last night. Kevin Pillar set at 27. One I do like, Boog Powell, 27 versus Scribner. Powell's left-handed bat is swinging it good the last week to 10 days. He's a good look there at 27. Pedro Florimon, he's second base outfield eligible. I keep using him. I keep telling you to use him as a punt play. He's 2,600. He had 13 points last night. He's averaging 6.4 his last 10. He bats at the bottom of the order for the Phils. He might get rained out tonight, but as a punt play for 2,600, he brings back good return. He's like our new Riddle for me, for those longtime listeners, our Riddle. Other than that, check the lineups for your value in the outfield. That is your bats for the day. Recap of the pitching up top. Sale 1, Santana 2, Arrieta 3. You got Bundy 1, Moore 2 in the middle. In the 7K range, you got Dickey 1, Godley 2, Weaver 3, Junis 4. Down below, you got Leiter 1, Perez 2. Let's take a look at your BVP and send it on home. You got the likes of Mariners, Orioles, Chris Davis. I told you, $4,100 and worth the play. 6 for 19 with 2 doubles and 2 homers off Erasmo. Seth Smith hitting 267 with 2 doubles and a homer. Adam Jones, 6 for 21, 2 doubles. Machado, 6 for 25, a double and a homer. So some interesting looks there. Todd Frazier, 6 for 19 with a homer. Didi, 4 for 13 with a homer. Brett Gardner, 5 for 18, 2 doubles. Chase Headley, 5 for 17, 2 doubles versus Trevor Bauer. Jay Bruce is not a guy you want to use versus Jaime Garcia, 222 average. Daniel Murphy versus Vance Worley, 12 for 22 with 2 doubles and a triple. That's sneaky nice. Lynn's taking him deep in their matchup. Christian Yelich, 3 for 5, 2 doubles against Edwin. Giancarlo, 4 for 9 with a double. Freddie Galvis, 6 for 20 with a triple and a homer versus R.A. Dickey. Justin Smoke, 4 for 13 with a double versus Sale. Josh Donaldson's only hitting 238, but he's 5 for 21 with 2 homers against Sale. Pierce hitting 250, 4 for 16 with a double. You got Jose Altuve, 10 for 30, 6 doubles lifetime versus Martin Perez. Evan Gaddis, who I told you I liked a lot, he's 7 for 18 with a double. Springer, 5 for 19 with 2 homers. Even Mariznick, 5 for 16 with 3 doubles. Marvin Gonzalez, 5 for 17 with a double. So some guys to like versus Martin. Rugio Odor has taken fires deep. Nicholas, 1 for 2 with a homer. DeShields has a homer off of Napoli, 2 homers. Andrus, 2 homers. Beltre, a homer. And Rudy, a homer, all off fires. Eric Thames, 1 for 3 with a homer off Luke Weaver. Ryan Braun's 3 for 9 with a double off Weaver. Matt Carpenter, 7 for 30 with 2 doubles. It's only a 233 average. Ben Zobrist, 2 for 3 with a double and a homer off Cool. Schwarber, 2 for 3 with a double. Rizzo, 4 for 9 with a double, triple, and a homer. Baez, 2 for 6 with a double and a homer. Hayward, 4 for 8 with a homer. Bryant, 3 for 9 with 2 doubles. The Cubs have had some good success versus Cool. Josh Bell, 6 for 11 with 2 doubles and a homer off Arrieta. Keep that in mind in that matchup. Polanco, Jorge Polanco, 5 for 11 with 2 homers off James Shields. I like that one. I loved Dozier, hitting 353, 12 for 34, 5 doubles, and 4 home runs off big game, James. Bananas. Buxton, 3 for 11 with a double and 2 homers. Maurer, even, 16 for 54 with 2 doubles, a triple, and a homer. Lots to like there. Matt Davidson versus Santana is 2 for 4 with a double and a homer. Jose Abreu, 9 for 21 with 2 doubles. Avisel Garcia has a couple homers, hitting 250. Hosmer, 5 for 14 with a double and 2 homers off Cobb. Moustakas, who I told you I liked, 4 for 12 with a double and a homer, so 333 average. Salvi Perez, 5 for 12. Melky Cabrera, 4 for 14 with a homer, so there's some upside there versus Cobb. Iannetta has 2 homers off of Rich Hill in his career, 2 for 10 with 2 homers. Justin Turner, 3 for 12 with a double and 2 homers off of Godley. That might be it. Myers, 1 for 3 with a homer, so it's not much. Panic, who I said was decent, 7 for 13, 3 doubles off Perdomo. That's not horrible. So there's your BVP. There's your edition, your Tuesday edition of MLB DFS Quick Hits. Remember, check us out on Twitter at TheSportsDGens, TheSportsDGens.com. Last night recorded Bench with Bubba, episode 52, with Mike Yevanelli of Dear Mr. Fantasy and FNTSY Radio and Nate Dockin, who I've had on many times, Big Guy Fantasy Sports, The Nasty Cast. We didn't even talk fantasy sports last night. We talked Game of Thrones Season 7 finale, Season 7 period, and predictions for the future. It was awesome. I had a blast. An hour of just Game of Thrones. It was a blast. If it's not your thing, I get it, but it was awesome. if PGA DFS is your thing, we recorded Always Pressing for the Dell Technologies Championship this week. Myself, Jesse, and Bucks got her in there. Got you the picks you need for your DraftKings lineup. Had a lot of fun with that, as usual. You got Around the Bases with Bubba Moe, episode 27, dropped Sunday night. Talking all kinds of stuff, baseball. Stanton, Hoskins, Buxton. What are the Giants going to do this offseason? Who's going to get Ohtani? NL wild card race. The brawl in Detroit. So much to talk about. Had a players weekend. We had a blast on that one. A lot of good stuff there. Jesse will have his article out this week. Doc is recording with the guys from the Saturday Edge tonight. The first week one college football preview picks edition should be out sometime tonight or tomorrow. So get that in. We have so much more coming. I got NASCAR this weekend. We got UFC returning. We got EPL. Tons and tons and tons to do. Look at the past bench with Bubba's for fantasy football advice. We have the NFL DFS 2-point conversion show kicking off this week with myself, James McCool, and Bucks will be joining me. James McCool is at paydirt_DFS. So check him out. Lots coming up, but check me out on Twitter at BDIntrix so I can help you with your MLB DFS needs and get it in. We have a big slate. Watch the weather because there's tons to like, but the weather might mess with some of that. But this was MLB DFS Quick Hits, your Tuesday, August 29th edition. I'm out.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.